Entertain us.
We'll start with Ms. Jackson.
Please keep us awake.
Good evening. My name is Jules Jackson. For purpose of correspondence, I can be reached at jacksonjules@gmail.com. When examining the significance of the archaeological sites in question that would be destroyed by the proposed Linco Townsend project, as well as any other proposed projects on or near this area, one only needs to review Sussex County Code and the Sussex County Land Use Plan to understand this proposed project blatantly violates specifications listed on both documents. According to Sussex County Code, Section 115, the applicant must submit, quote, the presence of any historic or cultural resources that are listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Despite this requirement, the applicant has not listed the Townsend site in its submitted documentation, thus, in my minuscule opinion, violating Sussex County Code. Ironically, the Townsend site is even listed in Sussex County's own comprehensive land use plan on page 9-3, pardon me. The archaeological site is also denoted under an archaeological district referred to as AD on the Land Use Plan's National Register, Historic Districts and Sussex County map located on page 9-5. Additionally, the very first sentence of the historic preservation element of the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan denotes indigenous nations in existence prior to European colonization. Page 9-2 references the protection of archaeological sites, quote unquote. Page 9-3 of the Land Use Plan again specifically mentions the Townsend site, noting its inclusion on the National Register of Historic Places and commitment to the, quote, identification, study, and preservation of archaeological sites and their contents. The Townsend site's archaeological contents are even noted in the applicant's very own consultant's report, where it's not only stated that, quote, it's highly likely that previously undiscovered, undisturbed human remains still exist. But also that any and all future impact, including archaeological impact, should be conscientiously avoided. So we can go ahead and title the name of my presentation. You don't have to take my name for it or my word for it because I've already submitted my own research, so now I'm submitting everyone else's. The applicant's consultant's report concludes with multiple recommendations for a plethora of subsequent phase two and phase three surveys throughout the entirety of the property. The comprehensive plan commits to sharing, quote unquote, sharing the information with local officials and the general public. To this end, I would presume the applicant is required to provide information in totality regarding the protection of archaeological sites. This required dissemination of information has not occurred, and therefore Sussex County Council, who is charged with approving or denying this project, I believe is being deliberately deprived of critical information required to make an informed decision on this project, including but not limited to answers of the following questions. One, what is the boundary of the archaeological survey that was undertaken? Was a map provided? Two, what is the level of that survey? What kind of testing was undertaken precisely and where within the surveyed areas? Three, within the surveyed areas, what was found? Four, where is the boundary of the preserved area in relation to what was found? Five, how will the preserved area be protected? Covenants, if so, by whom? Has the proposed Linco Townsend development had a similar survey? If so, questions number 1, 2, and 3 need to be answered as well, specifically referencing the locating or probability of locating human remains. 7, where is the proposed stormwater outflow in relation to the areas above, and what is the potential effect on the proposed preservation area and or any other sites that may have been documented, located, slash remain to be documented, slash remain to be located? Again, falling under that category of you don't have to take my word for it. You can take the United States Department of the Interior's word for it. This is the site listing on the National Register of Historic Places for the Townsend site. It is mentioned, if the upper levels of a feature did not contain shell refuge or features never containing such refuge, the probing did not reveal their presence. We can go to plus. Plus is, this would be the, we can go two rounds of plus really quickly. We can start in 2007. Three questions. Is this site in the vicinity of any known historic slash cultural resources or sites. So I want to emphasize the word vicinity, so it's not just the area, it's in the vicinity. There's a check mark, no. So that would be incongruous with the county plan. Has the site been evaluated for historic and or cultural resources? Yes. So again, this evening I'm only speaking as a layperson, a concerned citizen, so I'm confused. How could it be evaluated for historic and or cultural resources where this is the most recognized site in at least the state of Delaware? Will this project affect physically or visually any historic or cultural resources? If yes, please indicate what will be affected, and it lists building structure, sites, archaeological, cemetery. It's checked no for some reason. So maybe they changed their minds in 2009. Let's see. And I don't know, sir, if this helps you answer the question. Will this project generate additional traffic? Yes. That's their words. So again, same questions. Is this site in the vicinity of any known historic slash cultural resources or sites? No. Has the site been evaluated for historic and or cultural resources? Yes. So again, they're stating that it has been evaluated, yet it is not in the vicinity of any known historical cultural resources or sites, but we have here in the comp plan the mention specifically and redundantly of the Townsend site. Finally, again, will this project affect physically or visually any historical cultural resources? Again, you're met with no. So they didn't change their mind, from what I understand, again, 2007 to 2009. I'd like to conclude briefly on a personal level, since that's slightly more specific. With two points, I'd like to briefly recount how, when residing out of state, if I needed any information pertaining to my research of indigenous burial sites, I learned quickly when sending my mother out on what I would call voluntary recon missions to prepare myself for endless complaints about her having to travel onto Route 1. So I had to tailor my requests for recon in areas outside of this corridor. It was during this time I probably set a world record for rolling my eyes. Thankfully, my mother could not see me through the phone. When I decided to relocate back home, back to Delaware, to pursue the research and subsequent protection of these burial sites, I quickly learned the meaning of the age-old adage that we as women become our mothers. It began to resonate with me. I returned to Route 1. It was virtually unrecognizable. It had become a monster. And this was in 2005. This is 2009. If I described it as unrecognizable and as a monster back then, I don't think words exist to know what I would describe it now. And finally, I'd like to conclude echoing, actually, the applicant's attorney's comments that the road adjacent to this proposed upzoning is a road, quote, we all know and love. So that's a very heartwarming comment. While I would not say necessarily that I love a piece of asphalt, what I would say about love and this area, what I love is my family. What I love are my Nanticoke grandmothers and grandfathers, aunts and uncles buried at the Townsend site. What I love is my culture and heritage that are at risk from being forever lost if paved over by this proposed upzoning. I love the children, both the ones that I mentor at the high school and the ones that I don't, the ones that will be ducking or dodging or diving into my mother's hydrangeas to avoid the traffic if this proposed upzoning occurs. I love these children who trust this community as well as the Sussex County Council to protect them and advocate for them on their behalf. These children, like Mr. K's children at age 9, are also quite capable of crossing the street. Unfortunately, it's not just when they cross the street. Like I said, when they're walking in front of my mother's house, when they're playing dodgeball in the area, I was on the track and field team in high school. We would run up and down the area, kids bicycle up and down the area on the street of Kings Highway. Unfortunately, these children are just as capable of becoming a vehicular fatality due to collision caused by this project. Vehicular fatalities that are completely avoidable and well within your power to prevent. Thank you.
Thank you. Next
gentleman over here on the side in the white tan shirt.
All of you have earned the right to speak, although I would encourage you again to try not to be too repetitious.
Scott Molesky, if you could give your name and place of residence for the record.
Yeah. My name's Peter Kowaleski. I live in Lewis in Wolf Run, which is on Gills Neck Road. I represent really my wife and six kids tonight. I am really not part of any of the other groups here tonight. As a matter of fact, about 6.5 hours ago, we had a coin flip at a field hockey game in Bridgeville. I lost, so I had to come and tell my part of it. So my neighbors got out of it. Cape won. So I'm also have not been represented previously by any email or letters to the council. So my opposition to the project is really through right now. You know, the folks involved in this application are good people, actually friends of mine. And but sometimes friends disagree, and that's why I'm here. You know, what I heard through presentations tonight for the last 5.5 hours was that this is a community shopping center, and it's really, to me, the takeaway note is this is the community shopping center the community doesn't want. I mean, that's what I get out of that. I mean, I object on a few grounds, very brief. As far as safety, you know, the commercial designation really creates an opportunity for crime. That hasn't been really discussed that much. Cars, you know, with perhaps some malintent. I mean, we live in 2009. I do have six kids. I think about these things. It is right next to a school. There's loitering, vagrants, et cetera. That type of thing is a concern. The increased traffic, it's been beat to death. It's interesting that the applicant, from what I heard, just listening for the last 5.5 hours, was that we're talking about somewhere between a 35% increase in traffic to, or if you listen to the opposing groups, a 1,000% increase. So it's got to be somewhere in the middle there, somewhere. But the bottom line is, if you think about it, it's not zero. I mean, there is an impact. So there's definitely an impact from this traffic. And I know on that road, I run on that road in the mornings, you know, a lot of bikes don't use that path there. They're on that road. And so there's going to be some concerns, and I think that's been well addressed. But the bigger thing is really, you know, and this was touched on a little bit, but I have to reiterate just from, you know, my friends and for my family, is that, you know, the entire character of the area is going to change. And, you know, currently when I return from work from Milford right now and I come down, when you turn off Route 1, I mean, you can feel yourself relax as you come into Kings Highway. You know, you're coming into a community and a school and homes. If you pass this increased usage, you know, you'll turn off busy Route 1, and then you're really going to come smack into a large commercial complex. You know, with not only when it's there, even when people aren't there, it's the, you know, the bright lights, the scale of it, the whole thing. You know, this directly affects me, and I'd like you to just think about that personally, how it might affect you if you were going home tonight into your community and it was suddenly changed from a quiet menu to a commercial type of menu. Lastly, you know, I have served on an elected board, and I've sat and listened to many arguments for different issues, even this late. I don't think I heard any of them past 11 o'clock, so maybe this is mute, missing out a point. But I disagree with, you know, Mr. Schrader's comments earlier about really kind of pinning the board's consideration of this matter to just the technical aspects of whether the application, you know, A to Z has been filled out. and has that been done? And of course, there's been the back and forth banner about that. But really, there's two considerations that a board has, especially an elected board, is there is that technical fulfillment of the prescribed process. I mean, that's, you have to do that. That's what's been laid out. But the other part of it is the part that you were put in here for is you know, does it make sense? I mean, that's the other thing. You have to weigh that. And, you know, I'll say to you that, you know, the applicant, you know, has considerable experience, I'm sure, in fulfilling the application process and dotting the T's and crossing the I's. But it's the B part that really is what I'm asking you to think about. Part B is, that does it really make sense? You know, all you have to do is think of Lewis right now, close your eyes, and then think of commercial center, and then think Lewis and commercial center. It really, those two just don't go together. So you have the power to say no. You have the power to exercise that right. And I hope that you take that into consideration. Thank you.
See, we'll go this side. How about the lady in the green over here? Jump back and forth. Again, if you could give your name and address for the record. Please don't forget to write your name down on the list at the podium, too, so we have that as well for the minutes.
And if the next person, they can get up and get right behind
you. Absolutely.
Get close so we can keep it moving.
Hi, my name is Kathy O'Hanlon. I am a resident of Lewis. Well, not in town proper, but I live off of Savannah Road. And I did not plan to speak tonight, so I don't even have any written down things. But I wanted to bring up a point because you said don't keep reiterating. No one's mentioned another intersection. And that's the intersection of Savannah Road, West Coast Corner, and Clay Road. Clay Road is going to become the main intersection into this. And that's a frightening thought. And right now, it's a very poor intersection. It's poorly designed. There's Y's, U's, whatever. And it's barely handling the village of Five Points. And that's a lot of traffic right now. And I have seen the impact of what a shopping center can do to a major road or a minor road or whatever, because I live off Savannah Road, and I've seen the difference it can make. So that's the only point I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Come, somebody, make a move. That's right. Don't hesitate.
My name is Betsy Farlow. I live at 1 Henlopen Gardens. I may be the person who lives closest to the area that you're considering. I have what you need. I have a map. It's not colored, and it's not in PowerPoint. But this is Savannah Road, and this is what we're still calling King's Highway because that's what it says on the road sign. This is north, and I know that's north because when I stand here and look out my door, that's where the North Star is. And my major concern really is safety. My son is a paramedic, full disclosure. I am worried about the congestion. I'm worried about him standing up in the back of the ambulance starting an IV and having the traffic not able to pull over and having a possibility of him getting hurt, having a possibility of his patient not getting to the hospital. In certain situations, seconds do count. But the other thing about safety, and I will let you, I will pass this around so you can all see my wonderful map.
I want it to be part of the record.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Very good. It's the best map I've seen.
I know. The thing is, when people are here at the shopping center and want to go from King's Highway to Savannah Road, or whether they're on Savannah Road and want to go to King's Highway, they have three choices, really. This is Clay Road, and it goes to the left. It doesn't go straight across. And then you come to this really bad intersection at Westcote Corner, which has the yield signs and the stop signs and the traffic light. Or they could go all the way into the town of Lewis and take side roads and go back and forth. Or they can go right through my neighborhood because I live at Henlopen Gardens. And the thing about my neighborhood is people walk their dogs. One of my neighbors doesn't have a car. She walks to church. She walks to the library. And here, right around the townhouses, there are sidewalks. But all the way here and all the way here, there are no sidewalks. And so my concern really is, I don't want to be sounding like I'm against young people or Christians or the YWCA. I really don't want you to change the zoning
it's
yet.
It's YM.
Oh, yeah. My mistake. Sorry. You can tell what my bias is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, I would like you to please not change the zoning. We have such a wonderful chance here in Sussex County of using land wisely. Dell Tech, the first campus, was here in Georgetown. Jack Owens established Dell Tech because he wanted to work with the existing farmers, the existing business people, and develop the training and the innovative uses of the land together. And we have a chance to do that. We are within 100 miles, which is local food, of Philadelphia and Baltimore, Annapolis, Wilmington, and parts of Washington, D.C. We could grow local food and sell it to all of them. So that's just one thought, probably not the most practical, but we really need to use land innovatively and imaginatively and not change zoning until we start doing that. Thanks. Thank you all for taking so much time.
Thank you.
Next person.
We're a twofer.
Oh.
I'm Eve Aldred. I live in the town of Lewis. I'll let Joanne introduce herself and then I'll talk.
Yes, my name's Joanne McNaught and I live in Lewis as well, Madison Avenue.
I am the chairperson of Cape Henlopen High School parent group, but I come here tonight to speak to you as a parent of three, two of which currently attend Cape Henlopen High School. As I wrote to many of you, I urge you and implore you to oppose this change in zoning, primarily because I see it being a distraction and a temptation to the students of the high school. There are already so many obstacles to educating youth in today's society. We definitely don't need to add to it. And creating and building a 300,000 square foot shopping center across the street from the school will do that. The administration at the high school is in a new building, and they're working very hard to maintain a safe, stable, and secure learning environment. Creating the shopping center across the street will make them have to divert time. I don't want to see anybody in the administration have to spend even 1 minute to watch after a student who decides to take a break and go get a soda across the street or feels the lure of the shopping center and decides to cut a class because it avoids the rigor of the day. The other issue that I wanted to bring up, the shopping center becomes a tantalizing nuisance. And as soon as this zoning changes to commercial and something is built there, it is done and it can never be reversed. So I ask you to please maintain it, keep it residential, agricultural. And the one other issue I want to bring up is the crossing of the street. You have a dismissal at 3 o'clock, sports activities after school, games that go on, football games that go into twilight and dark hours. And students will be crossing the street to go visit friends or hang out at the shopping center at any of those hours. It is unreasonable to assume that they will walk to the designated crosswalk, push a button, wait for the countdown of the signal to give them the go to they can walk across. They will look for whatever area they are along the road. They will look for the traffic, and when they think it's clear, they will cross. And with emergency vehicles, ferry traffic, and the general busyness of that road, it becomes a major safety issue. Joanne will attest to that in a minute because she has lived through it. So I ask you to ask yourselves, if you had a student in high school right now, would you want this shopping center built across the street? Thank you.
Ma'am, just for the record, are you representing the...
No, I'm okay. Simply representing myself.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
And I'd like to piggyback on what Eve just said. I'm opposed to the rezoning for a lot of reasons, but I can attest firsthand about high schools across the street from shopping centers. Before I retired 2 years ago, to move down here full time. My husband and I worked for 38 years. We were on the faculty at a private school in Bucks County, on a very major highway, and about 25 years ago, they put a shopping center in directly across the school from the school. And the school and the shopping center coordinated on building safe walkways, lights, and so forth. I can tell you firsthand, kids ignore these things. They take the shortest, quickest route, and sometimes it's the most dangerous route. And I saw them time and time again dart across the street, weaving in and out of traffic, or traffic weaving in and out of these students crossing the street. It's a very, very dangerous situation. And in 25 years, the school has yet to solve this problem. It remains a problem there. So I urge you, please, please, don't change the zoning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm tired. I'm going to be very brief.
Good.
My name is Nadine Wick. I live at 124 Madison Avenue in Lewis. I'm here tonight to submit to you more than 2,300 signatures opposing the Lingo Townsend rezoning application. Over 1,500 are signatures from people in Lewis and the surrounding area.
Here. Get your name again.
Thank you for making it short and sweet. Let's see if you can do better, sir. It's going to be a hard act to follow. Are you done yet?
Great laugh.
What happened to the equal time, Doctor?
That stopped at 11:30.
Good question.
This will be made a part of the record, sir, just so.
For Mr. Ryder, he's got a... commission members, thank you very much. My name is Ralph Richardson, 317 Chestnut Street, Lewis. My wife and I, since 1995, have owned a small cottage at 317 Chestnut Street in the Lewis Historic District. My remarks are going to be about our historic district. The original section of our cottage is post and beam construction, estimated as dating from the 1790s. The U.S. Department of the Interior placed the Lewis District, with approximately 600 buildings, on the National Register of Historic Places in 1991. These structures, residential, commercial, civic, span a period of 275 years from the Reeves Holt House of 1665 to modest pre-1941 bungalows. Our cutoff year is 1940 for our historic district. An early recognition by Lewis residents of our town's unique architectural history has left a large number of our buildings intact with their original exteriors and architectural details. There is simply no other town in Sussex County, in fact, no other town in Delaware, that can offer the setting offered by our historic district, including a picturesque canal, the pristine beaches of Delaware Bay, Cape Henlopen State Park. In my opinion, the first and foremost criterion in evaluating any proposed development, commercial or residential, in our general area should be the potential impact on Lewis as a destination for historic tourism. The value of tourism to the state's economy was highlighted in last Sunday's News Journal, where Senator Carper was quoted as saying, "Tourism has been an increasingly important component of Delaware's economy for years. As we witness the consolidation of the banking industry, the shrinkage of manufacturing-based industry, we need to schedule another leg of our economy, and that's tourism." End quote. The same news article reports that the National Park Service, at the behest of the Delaware Congressional Delegation, is studying the creation of a Delaware National Coastal Heritage Park, using a number of locations which in their totality will illustrate such themes as colonization, the struggle for independence, and later economic and social change. While the Park Service study will consider a variety of sites, including the John Dickinson Plantation and the Dover Green, only two historic districts will be on the list. Those districts are Newcastle and Lewis. In my opinion, upzoning to permit the Lingo Townsend Shopping Center on Kings Highway at Gills Neck Road would make a mockery of long-range planning for smart and sensible growth. The shopping center's size, location, and need to draw from a regional market would impede traffic flows for Kenlope and Haight State Park and the Cape May Ferry Terminal, would generate traffic spillover effects into Lewis, thereby degrading the historic tourism visitors' experience, and endanger the viability of the commercial core of Lewis with its unique mix of inns, restaurants, assorted shops, and services. In closing, it's my very personal opinion that the proposed shopping center, if built, will be a malignant growth immediately adjacent to our Lewis Historic District, the economic engine of our community. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 3 minutes.
Whoever's next, and just come on up and give your name and place of residence.
We both come same time, yeah. Won't you? Get right behind her. Get right behind her.
I only have 3 minutes.
She's only got two.
Christine Bashy, I live in Lewis, Delaware.
Get more into the mic. I don't know if they can hear it. See the little microphone?
Just slide it to one side.
Just get closer to it. Right. It lights up.
Okay. Thank you for your time this evening. Much has been said about the impact of this project onto the town of Lewis. What has been left out of the discussion is the impact on Cape Henlopen State Park. As a Cape Henlopen State Park volunteer, I feel as though the proposed project will impact the park in a negative way. Members of council, we can all agree that Cape Henlopen State Park is one of the most beautiful parks in the state of Delaware. One of the main reasons tourists visit our area is because of the easy access to the over 7,000 acres of parkland in the Cape region. It is public access that makes our area so attractive. A shopping center of this size will limit what has been a key feature. Cape Henlopen State Park is one of the most visited parks in the Delaware State Park system. In fact, we had over 1.5 million visitors in 2008. Another fact, this year the park closed over 10 times this season due to overcapacity in the park, people being turned down because they cannot get into the park. It is filled. And for the first time this summer, the park closed on a Friday. Most of these park closings occur on peak Saturday and Sundays. This year, the park closed on a Friday twice. The Delaware State Park System lacks funding to patrol existing traffic conditions in the park and the surrounding bike trail areas. With recent reductions in park staffing, park rangers are already spread too thin, and the difficulty that the park faces today is how to balance increased traffic control while maintaining access and ultimately a pleasant park experience. This proposal will only enhance existing problems. Another safety issue is access to the Junction Breakwater Trail, which is a heavily used and popular bike path, a portion of which runs directly beside Gills Neck Road and the proposed shopping center. I feel as though the shopping center is not only incongruous with the existing bike path, but more importantly, it is extremely dangerous to cyclists. Lastly, environmental impact is also a consideration. The park will be directly affected by a shopping center due to loss of wildlife habitat. Specifically, an existing overpopulation of deer will be forced to move into the surrounding park areas, and this will cause greater population increases within the park and subsequent impaction and decimation of native plant life material. In addition, deer will cause a threat to traffic safety within the park and surrounding areas also due to loss of habitat. Light pollution is another factor for Cape and Lopin State Park. The proposed shopping center is centered over the Atlantic Flyway for migratory birds. Every spring and fall, Cape and Lopin State Park and surrounding areas are important stopover points for migratory birds. Semi-annual bird counts conducted within the park can be helpful in measuring the impact on overdevelopment in our area. It is believed that light pollution and overdevelopment will greatly decrease access to these stopover areas that are essential to the existence of migratory bird species. In my opinion, Cape and Lopin State Park is the crown jewel of Lewis and would be negatively impacted by this proposed project. Members of Council, all of you have visited Cape and Lopin State Park and have enjoyed and appreciated what a beautiful park we have. I strongly urge you to vote no on this proposal in order to help maintain access to the park, protect environmentally sensitive areas, and continue our good stewardship. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Part of the record.
What's the word, Vince?
Okay. My name is Rachel Leonardo, and I live at 326 West 3rd Street in Lewis. After all the public hearings, reports, letters to the editor, letters to Lingo and Townsend, and letters to the Sussex County Council members, I'm not going to waste your time or my time repeating all the reasons why a zoning change should not be issued to allow the shopping center. I'll make it short and to the point. To Lingo and Townsend, you can make lots of money just developing this land residential. So I ask myself, why do you keep pushing to change the zoning to permit a shopping center when the majority of citizens who live in the area and who will feel the impact of such a development do not want it and do not need it? It has to be that a zoning change to allow the building of a shopping center will bring you even more money. And now it becomes greed. Money and greed. To the Sussex County Council members, you are entrusted with responsibility to represent and work for all the citizens of Sussex County and to ensure wise land use and development. So I ask myself, why are you still considering a zoning change to allow a shopping center when the citizens and businesses in Lewis have said no? And why would you think another shopping center added to the 5 miles of wall-to-wall shopping centers we already have is needed or a wise use of land? Could it be the good old boy system? Bottom line, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. I hope this is not the case, for it would be shameful and a disgrace to your office. Prove me wrong and vote no to the Lewis Regional Shopping Center.
If I got my back scratched right now, it would be awful nice.
Thank you.
Where's Billy Lincoln? Scratch my back.
And for your information, I have been offered a dime.
Would you like to make that letter your what you read
yeah, we'll
a part,
have
of the
part of the record, ma'am?
Just I've got it. Let me give you the copy.
Okay. Whoever's next, please. And again, just make sure everybody that speaks, please sign the sheet up there on the podium.
Hi, thanks for taking the time. My name is Amy Felker. I own Notting Hill Coffee Roastery and Lewis Bake Shop. I've been in Lewis for 19 years as a merchant. This is difficult for me as one of the applicants is an everyday wonderful customer and lovely guy. So this is a little tough. I've been in the Lewis community for over 19 years, and I've seen it grow a little bit. And it's a successful little community. It's a little quiet in the wintertime. I don't know how we'd be able to sustain a big shopping center. But the reason that people stay in Lewis and move here is for the same reason. We're a bit like Mayberry, and it's sweet, and it's nice. And if you close your eyes and think about when you were a little kid and where you lived and how nice it was, that's what Lewis is to everybody that's in here. My neighbor owns a dress shop, rather successful dress shop. She's been there a long time. She was in Media, Pennsylvania, with a dress shop, and they had built a mall about 2 miles down the road from her downtown media area. And within a couple of years, her downtown media area died. And that's not sweet. And
what I do is how I make my living and how I add to the community. And if Lewis downtown doesn't exist because of a mall, then that's not sweet. And I don't know what else to tell you because you've heard it all. But thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, next we have somebody.
Keep on coming. Chop, chop.
My name is Tom Panetta, 125 Washington Avenue, Lewis. You've already got a letter on record, so I'm not going to cover any of that. I spent 25 years in the design, licensing, and operation of nuclear power plants. And one of the things we learned over time was is just because you can do something from an engineering perspective doesn't mean that you should. And yes, I agree that you can probably mitigate every problem that this development could create through engineering solutions, whether it's building more roads, water treatment systems, traffic signals. But as you've heard from many people here, the simplest way is to keep the zoning the way it is. It eliminates the increased traffic, so you don't have to build the new roads. It eliminates the potential concerns to our Lewis water system, so you don't have to worry about designing engineering systems to mitigate it. And a couple other high points. We keep hearing about property rights. No one is trying to take property rights away from anyone here. As you've heard, it's AR1. It can be developed as AR1. It is nothing more than maximizing profits to try to increase the zoning. And that zoning then comes with a detriment to the community. From a landscape perspective, the coastal area of Delaware, whether it's Dewey, Bethany, Lewis, all has a certain charm to it. They are each distinct. Dewey is different than Bethany. Rehoboth has got its boardwalks. Lewis has got its little small town charm. Adding more shopping centers to our highways does nothing more than to make it every town USA. We're beginning to look like Houston or Dallas in where every road is lined with strip shopping centers. That exists on Route 1, part of Route 9. Is there a reason to keep continuing to add more strip center malls onto every road and byway in this county? Or is it time to start preserving some of the rural characteristics that exist? So I guess in closing, I would just say it's time for more sensible development. It's not no to development, but it's sensible, smart development. Many of us have been preaching for a long time that the residential development should have small commercial centers in them so that the traffic is kept local. This area could be developed along with the already approved senators and governors with small commercial to keep the traffic locally, service the local residents, but we do not need a residential development, commercial development. Thank you very much. And I do appreciate all you guys' time.
I'm Andrew Thomas from Lewis. I'll try and keep it brief. Thanks very much. I think we're going to set a record for a long night. Everything that's been discussed, there have been a lot, but the one thing that I keep coming back to is common sense. The traffic light that's going to have to be put at Clay Road makes, I think if we put a traffic light there tomorrow, it would cause gridlock the very first time a ferry got out right at Gill's Neck and King's Highway. There's no, those cars would back up in about 30 seconds when you're talking about 100 cars coming. And as soon as they back up to that intersection at King's Highway and Gill's Neck Road, that means the cars that are getting stopped aren't going to realize that it's how quickly it's happening. They will stop in the intersection. Then when that light changes, anybody trying to leave the high school or make a turn from Gill's Neck is going to not be able to do it because the light is going to be backed up. What I heard, we're going to have pedestrian timing. So when that light gets put in, you're going to have to come to a red light, wait for a green arrow to go one way, wait for the pedestrians to cross. So I'm thinking, and maybe the traffic experts could give you an answer. How many minutes is that going to be when the car stops at Clay Road and before it can start to go again? And it's going to work the reverse direction, too. Cars coming in are going to back up. I don't know if you've seen what's going on at the high school in the morning. There's two state troopers now having to direct traffic into the high school under today's condition. And you come to a stop, it takes you about 20 minutes today just to get from the lighthouse marker at Kings Highway to Route 1. And that's assuming you're going to get that first light. I don't know how in the world you can synchronize those two lights. They just seem to be too close. If you look at the map, I'd like the people who have expertise to figure out how many feet it is between Clay Road and Gill's Neck Road. I just don't think if you put a light there, it's going to gum up the works, and that's without approving a shopping center. The only way that would work is if you dualize the entire length of Kings Highway, which we already know cannot be done. If you just have one lane that's getting stopped, it doesn't matter if turn lane on Clay, maybe one out of 50 cars makes a right turn heading out of Lewis on Clay Road. So what you're going to have under today's conditions, if you put that traffic light at Clay Road, you will have failing intersections in front of the high school and backing up around Dartmouth. I live in New York, or I grew up in New York. I can go about five times the distance on Broadway than I can in the same time on Route 1. I know DelDOT works hard. I don't know why they haven't been able to synchronize the lights on Route 1. New York City, with 10 times the volume of traffic, you will go through 14 lights and come to a stop. On Route 1, you will get a green light. You will go and immediately stop at the next green light. So if they can't do that, I don't see how, without the dualization of Kings Highway, this can go forward. It's just, I mean, to me, it's common sense. We're going to be, you know, backed up and gridlocked. So that's the deal breaker, I think.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity. My name is Carol Dobson. I was born in Lewis. I have been fortunate enough to be born and raised in Lewis. My father was the first radiologist at Beebe Hospital, Leslie Dobson. He set up the department there after World War II. He was born and raised on a farm in Millsboro, Delaware, one of eight children, and through the good fortune of scholarships and ROTC, he was able to go to Jefferson Medical School and come back to Delaware and be a physician. I talk about that because I've been raised with the spirit of public service and the importance of health and welfare. Also, Dr. James Marvel, who was the founder of the Lewis Historical Society, was my godfather. I mention these people. I will also mention my mother, who was important as well, to let you know that I do come from a long line of public servants, and that's why I'm here tonight. You're here because you believe in public service, and I'm here because I think my duty as a citizen is to stand up for what I believe in. I won't go through many things I would like to say because they have been said tonight, but I want to say something that has to do with the children who will inherit this area, the next generations to come, whether they be visitors or children like myself who were able to grow up here. We have a fragile ecosystem in this part of Delaware. Your stewardship is what's being called to make a wise decision now. I want to say to you that I believe that a commercial enterprise of this magnitude is not just unneeded. It's very dangerous to the welfare of all of us. Your grandchildren, you and me, all of us. Right now, I work as a professional grief counselor for Delaware Hospice. I've been a school teacher in my past. Now I'm doing grief counseling. I want to tell you that not only have I learned from counseling people the difficulties of working through grief when you lose a loved one, and I'm sure we've all been touched by grief, There is grief that can be prevented by wise decisions. And I believe that a commercial enterprise of this magnitude is a magnet to children who will not use the best thinking skills about how to get from point A to point B. In some parts of the country, there are laws against having a commercial enterprise of this size within a certain geographic proximity to a high school or an institution of learning. Delaware doesn't have a law that would prevent this. But that doesn't mean you can't act to the highest standards of health and safety right now. You can prevent unnecessary grief that would come not only from someone who loses a child or has a child maimed by a traffic accident. Also, the grief that could be you or me if we happen to hit one of these children. This can be prevented. The commercial enterprise that is being proposed is not safe on many, many levels. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
About how many more do we want to speak? Just one more after this?
Three total.
I have a letter for the record, too.
Okay.
30 seconds.
My name is Sumner Crosby. I have been in Lewis as long as Amy has been. I remember when that shop opened on 2nd Street. My wife grew up in Lewis. Her father was a graduate of Lewis High School. We have maintained a cottage down by the ferry terminal for the last 21 years. They're in the process of buying what we hope will be our forever and ever home on Lewis Beach. We make that decision because of all the things that we've heard tonight about the historical character, the beautiful fabric that is Lewis. I spent 10 years working for the Environmental Protection Agency. I don't have any kind of professional certification, engineer, geologist, anything like that. I'm a student of planning, geology. But when I was at EPA, I spent most of my time making maps like that map there, some of the other geographic information system maps that are around the thing. If I may, pull up this map for a second. Just because it happens to be available, I'm going to make it, available to the council members here. I'd hoped to come with all sorts of other maps, but I couldn't get the maps done because every time I sat in front of the computer, and I've got all sorts of very substantive comments, which I'm going to probably just forget about tonight because this big picture, I think, is much more important.
You can submit your comments to the record.
Yeah, I don't have them written down in a meaningful way. I became paralyzed looking at the maps. This issue of cumulative impacts is the thing that's really got me here, and I think who else can we turn to except to you to help us dealing with this cumulative impacts? The thing that just kills me, I took the PLUS projects for the last 4 years, 2005 to the present, and plotted them out on a map. And I'm going to draw a line on that map showing just the number of PLUS projects just north of Route 1. All right, it entails a land area that's effectively doubles the municipality of Lewis. All right. How much further can we grow before it's no longer what we know and love? So just the Lingo Townsend properties, take this area here and double it out to all of this land in here, all right? There's a couple parcels over here. There's parcels all around in here. I mean, Lewis is how old? 300 years? It managed to go along for 300 years with that small footprint, and all of a sudden we're doubling the footprint in a matter of 5 years or 10 years. Maybe it'll take 12 or 15 years to fully develop the site. I hope that you can reasonably see that this is not what Lewis needs. It's not what clearly this region needs. It's another shopping center. We've got, as somebody said, 5 miles of shopping centers. Just a couple of points about numbers. We heard a lot of numbers tonight. I'm not the professional certified professional I'd like to be, but I did spend some time talking. Because of my background at EPA, I worked in the groundwater protection program when I was in Region 3. I worked with the state regulators who oversaw the source water protection program, and so I sort of keyed on that issue. We've heard some references to the wellhead protection program. It's interesting. When I looked at the PLUS project 2009-404-09, I think it was, or 06, the original PLUS project for this project, there was a question that said, does this interfere with the source water protection area? And the box was checked no. I'd hope to have a map here. I'd say 90% of the parcel where this shopping center will go is underlain by the wellhead protection area. I've talked several times now with Mr. Scott Andrus, who is the professional geologist at the Delaware Geological Survey, who is the author, the principal researcher responsible for the report of investigations number 65, which is the basis for the wellhead protection delineations in Sussex County. I've talked with him about recharge issues and so on, and what I've learned in talking with him and throwing him some of the documents is that, one, we need to keep in mind a five-year time of travel for wellhead protection is a somewhat arbitrary line. His modeling effort actually mapped out the paths that particles that might get into the water would take from when they hit the land surface, whether they be in a parking lot, some sort of an infiltration system, or whether they be something coming off of a rooftop, bioswale, or whatever it might be. Once they get into the groundwater, what path do they take before they ultimately find their way into a pumping well, for example, the Lewis Well Field? The flow lines that go to the Lewis Well Field are substantially larger. The zone of capture is substantially larger. It goes all the way under Route 1 and all the way over to another site that is before you guys, and I read in the newspaper the other day, you've tabled the Cottagedale project because of some complications there. I'd argue we at least need to be thinking very seriously about the potential danger of that site and its brownfield and dump activities over the years, because that the flow paths that go into the Lewis Well Field as it's currently operating go right through that site. They commingle with the tidewater well, which is, I think, the same well that the applicant plans to use. It's the same well that all the residential properties that Lingo Townsend has developed around Gills Neck Road, or will be developing around Gills Neck Road. As that well grows in size, and it wasn't even a part of the wellhead protection delineation process that Andrus did in Report of Investigation 65. So there's no examining of the commingling, the interference of that well, the tidewater well, and the Lewis Well Field. I asked him today, given all that's changed in the area since you did that, in terms of impervious cover, other residential developments, commercial developments, what might happen with all the things that are on the books so far with senators and governors and this particular proposal, he said, frankly, the whole area needs to be studied again because most of the assumptions that I used in my model no longer apply, okay? So we don't even know. We're like flying the airplane with our eyes closed because we don't even really know what kind of a damage we might be causing to the well water that the city of Lewis depends upon and that now all these other developments may depend upon. I'll stop with that, and I hope that you'll see the right thing to do is to deny the application for upzoning. Leave it as it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to make an interactive presentation, if I may. I brought a display item that I'd like to pass around to the members of council. And as it's moving, I'll describe it a little bit to you.
If you'd, sir, give your name again for the record, residence.
My name is David Ennis. I'm a resident of Lewis for about 5 years, but I have been vacationing here for over 50 years. I have handed to you a comprehensive document, which is much larger than I'll try and re-speak tonight from. But I would like to support Ms. Jackson in some of her comments about the Native American facilities. Mr. Wilson, you better take that axe out of your pocket.
I thought it was a gift.
No, sir, not yet. I can't do that in front of the public. I am here to support some of the discussion about the Native American sites, and I'd like to share with you a couple observations. One, the axe head I've passed around to you was found on a piece of land outside the city of Lewis. It was not found on the Townsend property, but it was found on the opposite side of Lewis in a smaller neighborhood where Native Americans were known to live a long time ago. The former director of the Division of Historic and Cultural Affairs says this axe head is over 4,000 years old. I'd like to repeat that. This axe head is over 4,000 years old. On Sunday and Monday nights, I watched the public broadcast station, and they had the show about the national parks. They talked about the saving of the national parks for all the citizens in the future. They mentioned the Mesa Verde National Park, where cliff dwellers designed and built magnificent homes and entire communities and tucked them into the face of tall cliffs high off the canyon floor. Those developments were built between 500 and 1300 AD. Our axe head was 2,000 years old before those villages were built on the faces of those cliffs. This was found in Lewis. The site that has been identified as a National Register for Historic Places was submitted by members of the Townsend family. It was recorded with the federal government. And in that application, there are at least two points I think are important to stress. The pre-Columbian times, this site was a densely occupied Indian village, approximately 20 structures, together with storage shed, open areas, and burial sites. As a type site, the Townsend site has been mentioned by archaeologists all over the eastern United States. Almost 90 skeletons from this site have provided considerable information about the racial types among local American Indians. Those skeletons were removed and sent to the Smithsonian Institute when the archaeological study was conducted. It is the second largest Native American burial site to be discovered in the state of Delaware, second only to the Island Field location near Milford, but it is probably the largest excavation site of Native American remains to be removed from their resting place. On the application for the PLUS review, there's a question. Would you open your site evaluation by the State Historic Preservation Office? The answer was no. I went to the Department of Historic and Cultural Affairs, and as a part of my attachment for the packet I've given you, I have enclosed an email. You'll see my questions that went to the person in the office, but I'd like to read just a little bit about the response, because I think it points out some discrepancies between what you heard earlier and what I've been told. The developer did not give us anything. I've tried to see if he actually dedicated the 100 acres of natural area along the Pothook Creek, as was proposed in an earlier PLUS meeting, which would include the site boundaries as known from the nomination, but I cannot find any record of this. We never received any archaeological report, although we had a few discussions with the archaeologists while they were conducting the work. It is my understanding that their testing did not cover the entire parcel, but only the areas along the creek. I have no information about how far away from the creek bank they surveyed. I gather that the site may be bigger than the listed area, and there were one or two other sites located, but we did not get any site forms. From more recent conversations with some of the people who worked on the survey, I believe the report was never completed. Now, you have a fine gentleman who works in the county government who does historic preservation. I'd encourage that you use him as a facilitator to find out whether this person's report from the State Office of Historic and Cultural Affairs is correct or whether the material that's been provided by the applicant is correct. I am deeply concerned that there's been some perhaps misrepresentation. In closing, I'd like to mention to you that there's a very important question about drainage. And I believe one of the environmental folks mentioned at the beginning of his talk that the entire Pothook Creek is within the conservation easement. That's an area that the state has not yet seen a copy of the map, according to what they told me. But in that application for their PLUS review, the following appears. Stormwater will be treated by the on-site methods listed above before outfall to the Pothook Creek complex. Then in another letter from Mr. Tom Ford, there's a reading that says, there's another reference that says that all underground infiltration systems and biofiltration areas will drain to swales, which will safely convey runoff to a positive outfall into the conservation easement. Why was the conservation easement established? To help protect yet unidentified Native American sites of former living areas or burial sites of the community. The letter goes on to say that the swales will be designed using the natural topography available. We assume that means to the natural slope to the creek, to spread a flow to a sheet flow condition prior to outfall into the conservation easement and the Pothook Creek. It's my understanding that the sheet flow means spreading out to a wide flow of water that will run over the ground. I repeat, water running over the ground. That's the very ground we are trying to preserve and protect from possible artifacts or burial sites being disturbed. Something isn't right about running the water over the ground from a shopping center that has 1,884,447 square feet of impervious surface. And I would like you, therefore, to recommend opposing the requested change for the zoning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Wilson, can you get my axe head back?
It's right up here.
You said it was over 4,000?
It's 4,000 years old.
You know, I've been thinking over 4,000 years ago, about 5,000 years ago, Noah built that ark. You suppose he could have used it out of there?
He might have had that. He may have had something very similar to that.
Yeah, I was just wondering if that thing got shipped over to China.
Who's next? Come on.
Mr. Anthony, come on.
Come on, yeah, please. Let those two have a chat later.
My ancestors.
Call them up tonight, Sam. Finish up.
I thought it's some history that you may want to learn.
All right, Sam.
Gentlemen, good evening. My name is Rich Anthony. I currently reside at 122A New Road. Before we built our new home, my wife and I lived on the other side of town, and we looked at our back Kings Highway. Anybody that tells you the first responders don't use it, should try sitting there one day. That's all it would take. Police use it. Fire companies use it. Ambulances use it coming in primarily. You don't see the flashing lights going out too often. And if you want to talk about rights, first responders don't have the right to leap tall traffic jams in a single bound. But their families do have the right to expect them to come home safely. So I would ask you to remember that when you're considering the traffic impacts on this. The Sussex Code supports the plan. And the intersections, as we have heard, are currently failing. And even with all the money that the applicant is willing to spend, they're still going to fail. And I would direct your attention to 115-833, which says that you only approve this classification where adequate infrastructure is existing, planned, or funded. We had a report from Senator Simpson. There are no funds. It isn't planned. And you've most assuredly heard more than enough tonight that it doesn't exist currently. I'd like to thank Mr. Ford for addressing the nonsense about future scan. It's a very good tactic to try and rattle your opposition by impeaching what they're going to present or what they're going to say. But it has some flaws, because your opposition speaks after you. And if Jeff Fried or Jan McCarty were worried about the words being misinterpreted or misapplied in the letter that they sent on behalf of BB, they had but to come here tonight and withdraw it, pick up a telephone and call Mr. Lank and withdraw it, or send an email to each one of you and deny what was in there, that it was a misunderstanding. They didn't. Also, on one point that Mr. Ford made, and that was jobs. I happen to agree with the gentleman who said we need jobs. We do. But in the exercise of this application, I would urge you to look at whether this is the right place for this proposal. It is not growth management, growth management would be if you had a cap on what you allowed a year, which we used to in our comp plan. But it is land use management for you to direct some of this development to the other highway corridors. I'm quite sure that some of the folks on the Route 113 corridor would love to see some growth get over there so that they didn't have to come over here or come over to Lewis area. Same way with Route 13. They should have it. But if we keep approving everything that goes to one district, there is no incentive for the developers to move away from that area. It's easy pickings. It's the tourist trap. And one thing that Ms. Stever, I think it was you or George Cole, raised a question about the community designation, community shopping designation. It's 75,000 feet. Our code tells us that. And it reminded me of what Mike was discussing about the Tanger proposal. Because I was the last speaker at that public hearing. And I believe it was Ralph Benson that was needling me about the design of it. And my reply was something to the effect that it would take more than a phony lighthouse at the entrance to make it fit the community. And then after I looked at one of the glossies that were one of the presentations, I said, and I'll give you another opinion, even a dumb country boy can look at that and regardless of what fancy name you give it, the damn thing is a strip shopping center. Nothing more, nothing less. No public need has been shown or proven, and I would ask you to deny this application.
Thank you, Mr. Anna.
And I would also like to enter into the public record these documents.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in opposition tonight?
Thank you, sir.
Compliments the originalers.
Oh, thank you. Lord.
I did receive a letter.
Okay,
I handed in, and it's pretty much been said, basically what everybody's repeated, and it's from Diana Colton Beebe from Lewis. She did ask me to read it into the record. I think everything she said has been said. If you want me to read it, I'll read it.
Could you just reference it real quick? I mean, just highlight?
It'd be easier to read it than highlight it.
So, read it.
As a lifetime educator and school principal for over 25 years, I am astounded that the county would even consider a proposal for a shopping center across the street from Cape and Open High School. I know that many jurisdictions have developed strict zoning restrictions within a certain radius of any public school building. Apparently, that is not the case in Sussex County. But we still have an opportunity to say no to this request for upzoning. It was stunning to witness at the zoning hearing that the applicant made no reference to the high school or for the safety and well-being of the students. The only reference to the school was that their building was going to be about the same size as the high school. Cape Henlopen High School currently has at least 200 student drivers. Traffic statistics tell us that drivers aged 16 to 19 have four times the accident rate per mile driven as their counterparts ages 20 and older with more driving experience. The newest drivers, age 16, are the most at risk. Every additional risk factor in the mix, which includes more traffic and more different intersection movements, increases the accident rate for teen drivers. One of the greatest causes of accidents after cell phone use and alcohol is trying to go somewhere faster than is reasonable. The increased traffic brought about by a shopping center is bound to create delays, and delays cause risky driver behavior by the student driver who is trying to get somewhere on time. Shopping centers, by their very nature, create what is termed an attractive nuisance for teens. The Cape students will want to spend time there at all hours of the day and night to shop, eat, and mostly just hang out. Merchants market heavily to teens. Studies show that teens age 10 to 20 have more discretionary spending money than their parents. The very presence of the shopping center presents a pull on the students that directly competes with every program, activity, and educational goal that school has for its students. Once the shopping center is built, there is no going back. Parents and the school administration will have to spend inordinate energies and resources trying to police the situation. Take a look at what both schools and merchants are dealing with in other jurisdictions where shopping centers are located near schools. It is an erroneous headache. There may be places where these problems have been solved, but I don't know of any. I would urge you to find out what other schools have had to struggle with under these circumstances. But more than that, consider the safety issue of pedestrian students crossing Kings Highway at all hours to get back and forth between the high school and the shopping center. There may be a traffic light. There may be a police officer on duty at dismissal time. But there is no possible way to make Kings Highway safe for kids who will be crossing at other places in the light and at times other than dismissal. After practice, for example, to get a soda or a pizza with their friends. No matter how pedestrian-friendly the shopping center is, the only pedestrians currently within walking distance of this proposed shopping center are high school students. This is a formula for disaster. We must consider the safety and well-being of our young people. There is no need for the shopping center on the east side of Route 1. There are compelling reasons not to place a shopping center in such proximity to the high school. The allure of a YMCA and promised road improvements may sound tempting, but please remember that you are being asked to vote on a zoning change. The rest is pie in the sky.
Thank you,
that
Mr.
Lang. That was signed by Diana Colton Beebe.
Okay. If there is no objection from the council or our attorney, we will close the public hearing.
Can I ask a question?
And Mr. Cole has the floor.
Planning and zoning deferred, obviously. Did they leave the record open?
The commission deferred action for further consideration.
Does that mean the record's open?
No.
No.
Further decision.
Okay. Record's not open.
Okay. Is there any issues about the DelDOT, the conflicting DelDOT things? We could maybe ask DelDOT to clarify those different studies. Any or do you think think everybody's kind of got enough information?
That might be a good question to ask.
What's that?
DelDOT.
I'm just raising it. There was.
We can find out if it's 500 or 77 or.
Well, there was these two little like pack game type displays, and they came to different conclusions off them. Is there any interest in pursuing that, Sam? We just leave it open for DelDOT to revisit, or have you all had enough information to be able to make a decision?
I don't know if we really make decisions on that anyway.
Not tonight.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Both the gentlemen that spoke on traffic, both for and against the application, made reference to the same change on that one road segment from 577, I believe, to 277.
277, 577, then one said 500.
It doesn't sound like any burning issues. Mr. Robertson.
Just that while we got the record open, I want to make sure, though, since we talked about those two traffic studies, if we can get those from the two traffic consultants, because they were PowerPoints and they need to be part of the record.
Oh, well, yeah. One of the guys left, but
Mr. Rogers is here.
Okay. Thank you.
Otherwise, it doesn't sound like there's a need to leave the record open. So, without objection, we will also close the public record. And I will need a motion to defer since planning and zoning has.
So moved.
Second.
A motion second to defer. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries.
Folks, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Now, wait a minute. We've got one more.
We do. I know. I just was thanking that. Everybody. Mr. Ryder, would you please hurry up?
Sam, we're not done yet.
That's good.
Where were you at 6 o'clock?
Oh, my gosh.
Not here.
Traffic?
You weren't up.
Was traffic bad?
I was caught up in a traffic jam.
What, are you down to Lewis?
Dennis?
Yeah. Kings Highway.
You could have been home in bed 5 hours ago if you'd been here 6 o'clock.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen.